series that I've been doing, The Many Faces of Our First Love, just looking at different aspects of Jesus. And so we've looked at Jesus as God, King, Shepherd, Seeker, Warrior, Provider. He is our provision. And today we're going to look at Jesus as the Baptizer. So we're going to go to John chapter 1, starting in verse 1. And I love this. We've talked about this before because I did a whole series on the Gospel of John. But when we look at the genealogy of Jesus, right, Matthew takes the genealogy back to Abraham because he was a Jew. Luke takes Jesus's genealogy back to Adam. He was a Gentile. But John takes Jesus's genealogy back to in the beginning. Right, in the beginning, because he understood Jesus has always existed, right? He's always existed. So John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. And remember, this word life is the word Zoe life, right? It's the very life force of God that we were separated from at the fall, that Jesus brought in when he came into the world. He was the only spiritually alive person on the planet. Everybody else was, talk about the living dead, right? Everybody else is living the dead. He was spiritually alive. And this is the life that we get when we get born again. And this life that we have includes righteousness and true holiness, okay? So we were separated from that life. So he brought that life that we were separated from into the world. Okay, so in him was life, and the life that life was meant to be the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Now, this is the thing. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Okay, this is talking about John the Baptist. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of that light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. Like, Jesus had that light, and he's the one that, because he had life, he had light, and he is the one who imparts that life and light to mankind when they receive him, right? So John was in the world, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, the Jews, and his own did not receive him, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. If I could only have one chapter in the Bible, it would be John chapter 1. This is just so incredible, right? That he gives us the right to become children of God, children of God. So now John the Baptist, you know, I have so much respect for him. He has such a significant role, if you think about him, because he's coming, you know, between two covenants. He's coming to introduce the Messiah of the whole world. It says in John chapter 1, verse 19, now this is the testimony of John the Baptist when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? So he had gone to the River Jordan, right? He started baptizing people. They're calling them to repentance. He's baptizing them in the water. And then, so people are coming and saying, well, who are you? You know, are you the Messiah? Are you Elijah? You know, are you the prophet? And he says in verse 23, he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. So he knows his role is to introduce the Messiah. Now, just imagine, like, this is a man, young man, right? And we know he was set apart for that, but he's reading through the scripture, and the Holy Spirit highlights, I'm sure, multiple scriptures to him, but this one scripture to him saying, this is who you are. This is your purpose. And I would say to us saints, every single one of us, when you read this, it shows you your purpose. the scripture in here tells us who we are. And that's what John the Baptist found as he went through the scriptures. And so he knows that that's what he's here for, right? He is here for that. So it goes on to verse 26. He says, John answered them saying, I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. So he knows that Jesus is among them, right? He says, it is he who coming after me is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. So he's saying he's coming after me. In other words, he's been sent by God to start baptizing people in water. But there's one who's going to come after him, but he recognizes that the person coming after him is preferred before him. In other words, has greater favor with God, right? He's preferred before me, right? Because I'm not even worthy to loose his sandal strap, right? He understands the who Jesus is and his status, right? So then he goes on, verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So he knows that Jesus is sent not just for the Jews, although his time right now is for the Jews. He knows that Jesus is the Lamb of God. Now, think about this. He's announcing to the Jews that are there, but to the whole world, Jesus is the Lamb of God. You need to be really darn sure you've heard from God. I mean, think about that. He's coming. He's saying, he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the whole world, right? This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who was preferred before me, for he was before me. So he even understands that Jesus is eternal. He has that revelation. Just think of the revelation John the Baptist had. Right? He said, I did not know him. Now, again, this blows my mind because we know that Mary and Elizabeth knew each other, but they were family, but they did live far apart from one another. And he's saying, listen, I didn't know him. Okay? He didn't know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. So he knows he's going to be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water. So he knows that he's making straight the way of the Lord, right? He's come for this purpose. He knows that he's going to be revealed to him. And he knows that the mechanism that's going to be used to reveal Jesus, the beginning of Jesus's ministry, is going to be if John the Baptist is faithful to go to the River Jordan and start baptizing people. That's his role is to do that. So Jesus came on the scene, right? And he goes, John bore witness saying, we know that Jesus, you know, went down the water. He came up, right? They said, we need to fulfill all righteousness. And we know the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. And now John the Baptist is giving the account of this. He says, John bore witness saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. Again, he says, I did not know him. But he who sent me to baptize with water said to me. So when God told John the Baptist to go baptize with water, he told John the Baptist, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And Luke says, and fire. So he knows that Jesus has come and Jesus is going to baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. And then he says, and I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. That's a big, bold statement. You need to be pretty sure you've heard from God. And this word son is the word huios. And in the Gospel of John, John only uses this word huios to describe Jesus. Because the word huios means so close in resemblance to the other that you cannot tell the difference. So Jesus is the Son of God, and they're so close in resemblance, you can't tell the difference between the two. Right? What does it say in Hebrews, right? Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person is who Jesus is. And Jesus is the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, right? He's the Lamb, and he's the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit and with fire, right? Let's look at John. Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit multiple times. We're just going to look through some scriptures. I'll go off of here. John chapter 14, verse 12. Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, The works that I will do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Now, later on, we're going to see in Scripture, he says, because I go to my Father, I can send you the Holy Spirit, right? So the greater works come from the Holy Spirit. John 14, 16 through 18 says, I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper, right? We know helper, the one that comes alongside, right? That he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you, okay? Because everybody in the world is orphans unless they've received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They're orphans. They're running around spiritually disconnected from God. And so he's saying, I'm not going to leave you orphans. He says, I want to talk about, he said he will teach you truth, right? John 14, 26, he says, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the helper, right, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So he's the revealer of truth. When he talks about the Holy Spirit reveals truth, the word truth there talks about it's the definition is signifying the reality lying at the basis of an appearance, the manifested veritable essence of a matter. So what does the Holy Spirit do? He reveals truth to us. In other words, we're in this world, right? But the Holy Spirit pulls the veil back for us to see what's really going on. So we see, you know, turmoil, all this stuff going on, politics, governments, all this stuff going on in the world, but the Holy Spirit reveals to us that what's really going on is a battle between light and dark, right? It's not about people, right? It's about the forces that are at war with one another here on this earth. So the Holy Spirit will reveal truth to you. He always pulls back the veil to show us what's really going on. So he said the helper, 14:26, Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all the things I said to you. So the Holy Spirit always points us to Jesus. He always reveals truth to us. He's always there to teach us if we're listening. John 15:26, when the helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, right, who reveals truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. He's going to always point us again to Jesus. John 16, Jesus says, now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. This is really important to see, because Jesus Christ came to hang on a cross and pay for all the sins of mankind, right? And that is crucial, important, important, important. But that was a means to an end. The end was to get us born again and baptized in the Holy Ghost, right? The cross was crucial, important, absolutely necessary, and we are forever grateful for the cross. It doesn't end at the cross. That was what was necessary to get us back to being children of God and then endue us with power from on high to testify to who he is. That's the end goal, right? So the cross was the means, and important, important, important. But we can't forget what the ultimate purpose is. We're going to see this as we look at this more. Okay. So he says, to your advantage, I go away, for if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. Then after John chapter 20, after his resurrection, right? Jesus said to them, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. So he had gone to the cross, paid for the sins, and now he's able to give them the Holy Spirit and regenerate them into new creations. It goes on, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Okay, there's a new authority that we have now because the Holy Spirit has come inside the disciples and inside us to live out this life. Luke 24, this again, after his resurrection, before he goes back to the Father, he said to them, thus it is written and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remissions of sins should be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. So yes, that's absolutely necessary. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And this power is the dunamis power, which almost always points to new and higher forces that have entered and are working in this lower world of ours. Yes, I needed to go to the cross. Yes, repentance needs to be taught and needs to be declared. Yes, people need to come to Christ. And I want you empowered with the Holy Spirit. I want to breathe on you and make you a new creation. I want to give you the power from on high to operate in, because that's the end game. Let's go to Acts. So Acts, again, after his resurrection, right, he's spending time with the disciples before he goes back to the Father. Verse 4, it says, being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John, he goes back to John. John truly baptized with water, right? But you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now, which is exactly what John said. Listen, I baptize with water, but he baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Now watch this. The disciples said to him, therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he's, this is so funny, right? He just says to them, listen, I'm going to send you the from the promise from the Father. You need to stay here, right? You need to stay here and tarry in Jerusalem. And they're like, yeah, that's really great. I'm really glad. But when are you going to take over? Because like this whole thing with the Romans is really inconvenient. We really would just like you to just put away all evil. Let's just start running things ourselves. Like, when is this all going to be over? Sound familiar? I mean, are we talking to ourselves? Right? Jesus, like, when it's getting time. But what does he say to them? What does he say? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. It is not about when is Jesus coming back. It is, are we being witnesses? Are we letting the Holy Spirit operate in our lives in and through us and being witnesses in the whole world for what Jesus is called us each to do? Amen. That's what it's about. So verse 12, they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying. Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. They all stayed together. And this is why I love the prayer calls, because there's just such a beautiful unity that the Lord is really establishing. But they came together in prayer and supplication, right? Then chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing, mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. In one accord, this is what Jesus was coming for. This is what he wanted to bring. Again, the cross is essential and is so important for us to understand. But what he has called us to is just so much greater than this. If Jesus had to be baptized in the Holy Spirit before he did any ministry, how much more do we need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Amen? Amen? It is about so much more. It's so much more. You know, when we look at Peter, after he was baptized in the Holy Spirit, he went from being a man who denied Christ to a man who boldly preached the gospel, right? And thousands got saved. You, even in Acts chapter 4, right, they were refilled with the Holy Spirit. So there's always more. There's always more. You know, one of the songs we're going to do talks about heaven come down. Well, heaven's already come down, but we can come down in greater measure. Amen? Amen. Okay, it's about his kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that can only happen if we embrace the reality of who we are and allow the Holy Spirit to yield to him in greater ways so he can do. We surrender ourselves, right? Let him have his way for his purposes. Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. He is the one who baptizes. That's what one of the functions that he plays. He is the baptizer. And so we are, so I just want to pray. We're going to then have communion, and then we're going to just worship. So, Lord, I'm just so grateful for your presence here today. I thank you for Pentecost. I thank you, Lord. You know, Lord, I thank you that, you know, getting baptized in the Holy Spirit isn't entering into a club, a social club. Like, it's powerful. You have endued us with power from on high, Lord. You have called us to be witnesses to who you are, not only in our character and our manner of life, but, Lord, your Holy Spirit fire fall in greater ways so that when we touch people, they are impacted in greater ways for your glory. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of praying in tongues. May we not take that for granted, Lord. We are a people who give the privilege of praying in tongues. And Lord, we're so grateful that with that, all that the Holy Spirit does in edifying our spirit and building us up in our most holy faith when we pray in tongues, Lord. We thank you for that gift. We don't want to take it for granted. We thank you, Lord, for your presence here. We thank you for going to the cross. And Lord, we thank you for the end game that was to bring us into the kingdom, to make us new creations in Christ so that we could be witnesses to you and witnesses to you and to your life and for the glory of God in everything we do, Lord. Thank you for entrusting us. Thank you for calling us here for such a time as this. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So let's take the elements.